Or you didn't hear me? Good afternoon, beloved brothers and sisters in the Lord. Now, I know a brother, he's now with the Lord, and he said that he never spoke from the same scripture twice, and he never gave the same message a second time. That is not true of me. About 7 months ago, we spoke on this subject, and I believe the Lord will have us to consider it again. The best known verse in the Bible. Everybody should turn to it. John chapter 3, verse 16. Well known by all of us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God. Now there are some people who say there is no God. You know, God anticipated them a long time ago. And he had something to say about them three times in the Psalm. The fool says there is no God. Or it might be rendered, the fool says no to God. So if there is anyone here, and I trust not, who does not believe that God is, you're a fool. Now, don't argue with me at the end of the meeting. God said it. If you don't like it, take it up with him. The fool says no God. And yet we read in Romans that if we will look around carefully, there are many things that tell us that God is. Some time ago, I was arranged to go to Trinidad in the Caribbean. And the week before I was to sail, or to fly, pardon me, you will understand why I said sail a little later on. The week before, a certain man came and he said, when you go to Trinidad, be sure to visit the swamps. Visit the swamps. However, when I got there, I said to those with whom I stayed, I want to visit the swamps. Oh, fine, good. So I visited the swamps. It was a very instructive trip. And we waded through, at least the boat waded through the swamps, and we saw many interesting things, and then at the end, about 5 o'clock, we were all on an island. And the one that was conducting the tour said, now, between 5 and 5:30, some birds are going to come from South America and perch on that tree. 5 o'clock, I was all set. I had my watch. 5 after 5, no birds. 10 after 5, no birds. And about 12 after 5, I heard the fluttering of birds. And it was beautiful to see how they came in, the red ibises and the blue egrets. And they perched on the tree just as flowers would appear. Who told the birds what time it was? How do they know to come in at 11 minutes, 12 minutes, or 13 minutes after? Who told them? Who taught the birds? God. God is. And if we will look around carefully, there are evidences all over. You also read in Romans chapter 1, the invisible things of God demonstrate that he is. And we talk about atoms and molecules and all these things that we can't see. How do you think they managed to research them? God is. He put them there and has given the wisdom for them to work with them. The story is told of a group, or a certain man, rather. He lived in the forests, or not lived. He visited the forests. Parts of South America. And one day while he was there working in the forest, He heard a scream, a screech. He looked up, and there was a mother bird screeching, not singing, at the top of her voice. And Papa Bird came and he saw a snake climbing or crawling up that tree, and there were the nest with the little ones. And up was coming this snake, coming up, coming up. Papa Bird flew away, came back with a leaf in his mouth, put that leaf on the nest, and Mama Bird was quiet, and Papa Bird just sat and looked. And the snake came up and up and up, came to the nest, turned and went down again. Who taught the bird? There was only one leaf in that whole forest that was poisonous for that snake. Now, if I put you there and the snake was coming at you, would you know what leaf to pick up? The bird knew. And I'm supposed to be evolved higher than the birds. The whole of evolution is nonsense. The birds know, the Lord taught them. That's how they know what leaf to take for that particular snake. God is. Let me read a little piece here. The universe was either created or it came into being by chance. Evolution. Two choices. If the universe was created, it was created for a purpose. If the universe came into being by chance, there is absolutely no purpose for its existence. And there are many people who live that way. Man was either created or he came into being by chance. If man was created, he was created for a purpose. If man came into existence by chance, there is absolutely no purpose for his existence. The Bible declares that the universe and man were created for a purpose. God is. God loves. You say, well, if God loves me, why am I having so much trouble? And you have to pardon me, you're having so much trouble because love. God loves you. Job tells us that sometimes God has to put a man on his back. Read it in 33. Puts a man on his back so that the man will look up to God. Why are you having so much trouble? Because God loves you. I see a number of young ladies here. I think last week I gave some advice, some counsel, some marriage counsel. Anybody here would like it? Premarital counsel? I'm going to give it to you, and I'm not going to charge. God loved and he gave. And any man that tells you he loves you and gives you nothing, forget him. Well, that would cost you $100 if you went to the counselor. I've given it to you for nothing because I got it for nothing. God loves. And God gave. Now, God gave his only begotten Son. I asked a question last Sunday. Nobody has answered yet. God so loved that he gave his only begotten Son. Was Isaac his only son? Didn't he have one before? We read that Abraham was told to take your only son. Only in a special sense. Unique son. Now there is something unique about the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father. And this is the mistake that the Jehovah Witnesses make. If God is Father and the Son is Son, then the Father came first and the Son came after. It is not that way. It doesn't mean that. You remember in 1 Samuel 25, the husband of Abigail and he was called a son of foolishness. You remember the two disciples there? And the Lord Jesus Christ called them sons of thunder. Does that mean that the thunder gave birth to those two boys? In Acts, Barnabas is called son of consolation. Was consolation his mother or his father? It simply means that he was characterized by a kind and consoling attitude. Sons of thunder, it means they were characterized by a rough manner. Oh, they were ready to call down fire. Sons of thunder. Son of God does not mean that the Father came first and the Son came second. It means that everything that characterizes the Father characterizes the Son. That's the meaning of that word. I had that discussion recently with some Jehovah's Witnesses, and after I explained that, they just stopped. Son of God does not mean that the Father came first and the Son came second. It means that the Son has all the characteristics of the Father. So, the Father was never older than the Son. How do you figure that? The Father was never stronger than the Son. And the Father never knew more than the Son. The Father never had to send the Son to school because the Son knew as much as the Father. The Father never taught the Son. Now here's something interesting. The Son was older than the mother. Am I right? Is that right? His unique son. His only son. And that is very important. The only of God. The one way of God. This only son is the only way by which you can get to heaven. His is the only name by which you can approach the Father. He is the only door. He's, oh, I like this one. First thing. The Son is the only mediator, T-O-R, not mediatrix. Do you follow me? He is the only mediator between God and man. And his is the only blood that can cleanse sin, and we have been talking about foundations, and he is the only foundation. That's a unique son, isn't it? Now, this principle of only and one thing only is a lovely principle. You remember in the tabernacle, there was only one ark. When they went to cross the Red Sea, there was only one place where they crossed the Red Sea. Now, I have mentioned this before, but I will mention it again. Because we have what I call certain smart alecks in the world. Oh, that was no miracle. At that point, the Red Sea was just 1 or 2 feet high, and they waded through. It's funny, because in that same 1 or 2 feet, Pharaoh's horses drowned. And when they talk against the Bible, don't get upset. Now, you may not have an answer. Don't get upset. There's an answer somewhere. When they were in the wilderness and the people rebelled against God and he sent serpents that bit them, what did the Lord say to Moses? What did he say to Moses? Did he say, take a serpent or make a serpent? Which one? Make. There was no serpent to take. Make a serpent. And those that were bitten and looked at that, only one serpent, just one. God deals in the unique, his son. When they went to cross the Jordan River, there was only one place that they could cross. And dear brother Naaman, because Naaman ultimately was saved, he didn't like the River Jordan. He said, we have big ones where I came from, like the Potomac, the Mississippi, and the Hudson. Why can't I go in one of them? And one of his servants said, if you want to get rid of that leprosy, you better go in that little dirty river. One place. God is very unique. And you know, I like that. last week, and I usually listen in the evening to Channel 26, the Lerman program. Some of you here must listen. Well, they presented a young lady there, I forget her name, but I tell you, that lady could sing. And she did a little singing there. She was remarkable, most remarkable. Now, suppose the Lord had said to you, sisters, when you can sing as this lady sing, I'll take you in. Who would get in? And then you have that master violinist. It's hyperbole. We've all heard him. Suppose the Lord said, Arthur Garnes, until you can play the violin the way he does, I won't take you into heaven. Oh my, I never get there. But God has one unique way. His only Son is the only way by which we can be saved. Whosoever believes, we talk about democracy. It's a joke. But salvation is a true democracy. Anybody who believes comes one way and you'll be saved. Whosoever will believe. Believe. That's a very interesting word. What does believe mean? It means to just take that person at his word and accept what he says. Do what he says. Whosoever will believe. It's an act of the will. We are not robots. God expects each one to individually express his desire for or against God. Many of us have heard of Blondin. Used to tightrope walk across the Niagara River. You've heard the story. Blondin would start on the Canadian side and go across the falls, rocks. One slip, he'd fall, and that was it. And he would go across. He crossed one day from the Canadian side to the American side. Oh, great. Wonderful performance. And there was one fellow there who was louder than all the others. Blondin looked at him and said, do you believe that I can walk across the falls with a man on my back? Oh, yes, no question about it. Will you come on my back and let me take you over? Oh, no. He didn't believe. That's not what the Lord means by believe. By believe, the Lord means to commit your entire self to him. Just let him handle the whole matter. Whosoever believes will not perish. When you came in, I didn't look this time. Often I sit to the front and I look. Everyone whom I saw just came and sat down. You didn't test the chair to see if it would hold your weight, did you? If so, let me see your hand. Nobody. You just sat down. You believed that that chair would sustain. And that is the same way we must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Total commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. And God will force no man. God will not force anybody into heaven. Whosoever believes shall not perish. And there are those who say that to perish means you're annihilated, you're no more. That is not what the word perish means. Everyone here and throughout the ages is going to exist. You're going to exist. No, let me be careful how I put this. If you don't take the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, you're going to exist in hell. And if you take the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, you want to live in heaven. But everybody will exist. Shall not perish. Whosoever believes in him shall not perish. What does perish mean? It does not mean cessation of existence. As I just said, everybody is either going to live or exist. but you're not going to be annihilated. Oh, let me see. When was this? 73, I believe. Vivian and I were in Israel. And they took us around. We saw many things. It was a nice trip. It happened that one of the nurses with whom I worked had a relative in Israel. And she said, go and see my aunt. She'll take good care of you. And we did go. Lovely elderly lady. And she had her nephew there. And he said to me, have you seen Joppa? I said, oh yes, they took us there yesterday. We saw Joppa. He said, no, you didn't see Joppa. Would you like to see Joppa? If you say I didn't see Joppa, fine, I'll go. Now we went to where I had been on the tour. That was Joppa. Saw even the place where they say Tanis house was. But this fellow said to me, that's modern Joppa. I want you to come with me. Now here's the Mediterranean Sea. And then we went down these stairs, about three stories down. And my prayer was, Lord, please retain the sea. Don't let it come in, come in and drown us. And then we got way down. And there was a large place dug out. He said, you know, this is Joppa. This is where Jonah went. This is where Peter was. Not that thing they have upstairs. Joppa, the original Joppa, is buried. But it exists. It's still there. And when the Lord speaks of shall not perish, it's not a question that you're going to cease to exist. You will fall short of what God had in mind for you. Now, the Lord never intended for human beings to go to hell. Hell, as you remember we read in Matthew, was prepared for Satan and his followers and his angels. That's whom hell was prepared for. But when man refused and still refuses, and all who refused, you know what God had to do with hell? He had to enlarge it, make it bigger, to hold human beings. Isaiah chapter 5, read it when you go home. He enlarged hell to contain rebellious human beings. He never intended for you to be there. Let me read this little piece. Hell has its good points. The first time I read it out in Detroit, I don't know if you know the brother. He said, you know, I looked in surprise. What's this brother going to say? Hell has its good points. Ken Hampton is his name. Well, we have been a little unfair about hell. We've talked all about how bad it is, but there are some good points about it. Now, note the good points. There won't be any hypocrites in hell. Oh, you Christians, you're all hypocrites. Well, fine, when you get there, there'll be no hypocrites. Everybody in hell will be a believer. A little late. There won't be any churches there. Church, church, church. I'm tired of church. There won't be any churches in hell. And you're always preaching. Some of my relatives tell me that. Well, fine. In hell, there'll be no preaching. And there'll be no more Christian witness. And those that don't like religion, fine. You won't have it down there. But I don't want to be there. It was never intended for man. Shall not perish, but have eternal life. And that does not necessarily mean that you're going to live forever. That's not the point. Eternal life is a quality of life. And all of us who have eternal life now, we should be living life at a higher quality than many of the unsaved. It's a quality of life, not necessarily and just a duration. It's a quality of life. Shall not perish, but have eternal life. I'm just about finished. I want to read something here, written by a well-beloved brother that many of us know. Well, yes, we know him now. He's in heaven. And those of you that never met him, well, you'll see him one day when we go up there. Dr. Rolls. Does that sound a familiar note in anybody's ears? Dr. Charles Rolls. Know thou that every soul is free to choose his life and what he'll be. This eternal truth is given. God will force nobody to heaven. He's not going to force anybody. He'll plead. He'll instruct. He'll direct. He'll crown with wisdom, love, and light in numerous ways, be good and kind, but God will never force the human mind. The individual must decide for himself that he wants the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Freedom and reason make us men. Take these away, and what are we then? Mere machines, predestined to a given course. God wants sons and daughters in his kingdom, not robots. Each one of us must decide whether we will have the Savior. God so loved the world. The circumference of God's love. He gave his only begotten Son, the compassion of God's love. That whosoever believeth, the condition of God's love, should not perish but have the consequence of God's love. Someone has put it another way. God, the greatest lover, so loved the greatest degree, the world, the greatest company, that he gave the greatest act, his only begotten Son, the greatest gift, that whosoever, the greatest opportunity, believeth the greatest simplicity, in him the greatest attraction, should not perish the greatest promise, but the greatest difference, have the greatest certainty, eternal life, the greatest possession. I think that's a lovely summary of John 3:16. As I look through the audience, we are all that are here are saved. Beloved, you have eternal life. Enjoy it. I am tempted, but I won't do it. Won't be good manners to ask all who are enjoying eternal life to raise your hands, but I won't do it. Keep your hands up. But you know, what's the use of having it and not enjoying it? Spend time with God. Get in his presence. Get alone with him. It's amazing how happy you'll be. I think of one thing, and with this I'll close. I have had a dear friend. He was here once, I think, Brother Shikaji, probably Sister Betty, maybe remember. Lloyd Rallis was his name. He worked at Macy's. And every day during the lunch hour, he would stay in the locker room and read. He had a New Testament just like this one. And one day, he shouted, "Wow!" He didn't know anybody was in there. And there was a fellow in there, came, "What's wrong, Lloyd? What happened?" You wouldn't understand. And then he showed him the book. "I just got something from this book." "Well, what's in that book to make you shout and jump?" And I'll tell you, there's plenty in there, beloved. Take time out, especially you young folks. Take time out. It's amazing what you will find in this book. The many things that are in this book, natural and spiritual. Take time for the book. God so loved the world. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. you love, you're happy. Enjoy. Holy Father, we bow in thy blessed presence. We thank thee for who thou art, and we thank thee for our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we remembered this morning, the one who gave his own self, shed his blood, that we might be here this morning and this afternoon. We thank thee for our Lord. We thank thee for salvation. We thank thee for the Holy Spirit who teaches. We thank thee for thy word. And now we are about to leave this sacred enclosure. Take us, we pray thee, to our several places of abode in peace and safety, as we give thee thanks. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Beloved, I say, enjoy your eternal life. And you don't have to go down, what's that place there in Florida where they take the children to have a good time? You don't have to go there. Disney. You don't have to go there. Get alone with your Bible. Look into it and you'll be thrilled. You'll do like my friend. You'll say, wow.